Hello again, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host, coming to you from the Coins Plus Clock Tower radio studio. Coins Plus sponsors the show. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza I just mentioned. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044. Or through our website at coinsplus.com, toll free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. We've been in business 20 years. We're here to serve you, Christian owned and operated. Integrity is an important aspect of who we are. Our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We are a high-volume, low-margin dealer. We know that there is the appearance of alternatives out there. We know the business. I've been around. It's a biblical financial arena, and it is my goal, it is my determination that we are honest and fair. Our pricing is the best. Our products make the most sense. We build portfolios that will do you well. If you, as far as any investment alternative you have in the United States of America and beyond, nobody will treat you like we will. No one will put a portfolio together like we will. No one will charge you as fair as we do. We sell at wholesale to us. There is no such thing as retail. We operate on what the product is worth. That is important to you because if you buy if we build you a portfolio and you, the minute the market moves, you're making money. We have no commission salespeople. No one here has any vested interest in maximizing profit. Their goal is for you to have a successful experience, not only in customer service, but financially over the long haul. We really do take good care of our people. We know what we're doing. Trust me, there's a lot more that goes into this business than you'd ever imagine. People, you know, call and they look for a job and they think we stand around all day and flip, you know, little discs of gold and silver in bars. Folks, that is a minute fraction of how this business works. We're dealing in all kinds of precious metals all day long. I mentioned in the past, or repeatedly, that we buy what I refer to as scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Basically, any old gold jewelry, any old gold, dental gold, watches, whatever, we buy it all. A lot of people have old jewelry. They say, you know, boy, this ought to be worth something to somebody. You know, well, it's used, folks. And most people aren't into used jewelry. The exception is if it's a truly quality piece, aka a Rolex watch or something, then yes, you have a maintained value that lasts over time, unless it's completely trashed or it's a model that was, you know, put out in high volume and it's been mistreated or whatever. But overall, I personally, as an individual, collect Rolex watches and other watches. I have about 20 Rolexes. I'm a big believer in those as well. I like hard assets. I definitely practice what I preach. There's no question about it. I like to touch and feel my money. I believe if I have something, you know, whether it's real estate or even a collector car or, you know, precious stones, precious metals, whatever, coins that I haven't. The only way I can lose it is if it's stolen. Markets come and markets go, but those things are always in our hands. And the Bible attributes only a select limited amount, a limited group of items as true wealth. And those begin in Genesis chapter 2, with precious metals. Gold and then silver follows. There are economic base throughout all of history. We have destroyed this. I mean, we are, as a country, as a nation, and of course, as goes America, so goes the world. So as the world has done, they have eradicated precious metals from our monetary base. People misconstrue that to think that it's an old, irrelevant relic. And they have done it, folks, to get you to put your money in foolish paper assets. One thing I can assure you wholeheartedly without doubt, the markets that exist around the world, the Nikkei and the Dow and the S&P, they are going to explode and implode or whatever. I am looking at economic numbers in the last few days that have come out in some research reports. Folks, I'm telling you, I can't tell you when, but I can tell you frauds end and frauds end suddenly. I can tell you God gave us a very firm, specific way to manage our money. And it's all about buying assets. And you might say, well, yeah, because back then they didn't have the technology to be able to throw your money into the mail in the form of a piece of paper and have somebody send you an email back and say, thanks for your money. Now you have this investment. What investment, folks? Seriously, the whole thing's a big Ponzi scheme. I mean, you need to touch and feel. This is a world of reality. This is not a world of intangibles. How do you take money? The word money is rooted in the words gold and silver. And now we call money what? A piece of paper that's a promise from a private bank that is called the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor has any reserves, at least none for you. It's a private institution who is profit motivated. It's a for-profit corporation. In fact, the most profitable corporation in the world. Now, stockbrokers. I mean, folks, your 401k in retirement, where are they? What are they? You pretty comfortable with that? Sure you are. Because you think it's all good. And, you know, we took a little shellacking in 2008. Little. I mean, the Dow dropped by 60%. But the Dow is an artificial index. It is, they remove and replace stocks on a regular basis, and they use a weighted moving average to give you a false sense of security. When a stock fails, they pull it out and plug the hole with a solid or a more solid stock. So when the Dow dropped 60%, a guy in USA Today, I think it was, or Wall Street Journal years back, did an article on this. People lost 85%+ of their money when the Dow dropped 60. Now, that's a lot. That means if you had 100 grand, you had 15 when it was all said and done, on average. That includes people that had, you know, every type of investment. But it is just a matter of time. I promise you, I don't normally spend a lot of time on the show doing this because I don't want to be harping. But I'm telling you, it's time to harp. We got Trump in office. We've got an overthrow from the left that is absolutely unbelievable. It's insurmountable. It's unprecedented in history. The disrespect for the United States presidential office, sickness, just sickness. I mean, folks, where will this ever end? I hate to think. I mean, what did it look like in this country before the Civil War? The difference at the time of the Civil War, I believe at the Civil War, we were fighting the politicians' battles. I think what's different now is we're seeing the tension rise among the people. People are rising up. They are angry. And rightfully so in many cases. Many of them are angry. They don't even know how to be angry. They go to conservative rallies and scream over the top of people. They don't know what freedom of speech is. You get these morons I listen to on TV now all the time that argue that freedom of speech, you know, is fine as long as that we agree to have a rational dialogue. A civil discourse. They use words like this, which basically means that if you offend them, it's no longer covered under freedom of speech. They have a right to not be offended, to not have their feelings hurt. What did Jesus say? I am an offense. Period. So that's what they're saying. Freedom of religion, as long as you or freedom of speech, as long as you get in their little crowd and you just nod your head and bob your head and agree with everything they say, that's freedom of speech to them. Folks, these are not the best of times for America. We have hope, but we have a presidential preservation committee right now holding the White House. He's there to preserve, you know, what values are important to us. So if you look up, and I've mentioned this before, the biblical meaning of the numbers 44 and 45, and I'll explain while I'm doing that. I'm seeing if I can find this real quick here. Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you. The number 44, and why is this relevant? Then why is it's relevant is because Obama was the 44th president and Trump is the 45th. Now, I don't have the exact quotes, but 44, it says it's deals with or pertaining to bringing divine judgment on a nation. The biblical meaning of number 45 is as of or pertaining to protecting those values which are most important to a nation. Isn't that ironic? And Trump's name means a final overriding factor or resource. God's kind of smart. There's something in a name. And if you start to pay attention, it doesn't always work. And the reason why it doesn't always work is because names will be, some of them are generated from every culture, so like Mark or John, but even then you might see similarities. There's something in a name. You can find consistencies, I believe, in names and people's personalities. And so, you know, depending on the creation of the name and the timing and all that, there's meaning in a name. There's something in a name. And, you know, so we're sitting at a critical crossroads in this nation. Absolutely, absolutely critical crossroads. And you've heard that all over. I've said it. We had hope when Trump came in. We still do, because at least we've got the right man guarding the door. But then on the other hand, we have got the devil kicking at the door and battering on it at a rate that has never been seen or felt or heard in this nation. We need to pray for America. We need to believe in America. We have socialism. I heard Nancy Pelosi today speaking, saying, well, the Republicans believe that in trickle-down economics. And she says, they believe that the finances will trickle down and help those below, but they might not. And if they don't, she says, so be it. And she says, quote, that's the problem with the free market. Well, she's against the free market. So her philosophy, her solution is we need a socialist market where we know nobody will get anything except the elite. And guess what's happening more and more in America? It's so crazy. We have people begging for socialism, absolutely demanding it. That's what half of America's doing. They get brainwashed. The absolute bias and skew of the left-wing media is mind-boggling. I just traveled to some out-of-country places very far away. Absolutely amazing talking to people. I was in St. Lucia, which is one of the southernmost Caribbean islands, inhabited by blacks primarily, about 175,000 population. The island's only like 29 by 13 miles or 26 by 13, very small, very beautiful. And they're left there from the days of slavery, you know, and all that. But when I was driving in, they all want to know what I think of Trump. So you know me. You'd be surprised at how diplomatic I am usually. So I start to say, I like the guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. So this black cab driver tells me, he goes, yeah, he goes, I lost a lot of faith in Obama. He said, when he legalized gay marriage. He said, in St. Lucia, he goes, when a man lays with a man, he goes, that's disgusting. He said, we know that's filth. Well, how dare you say that in America? About a decade ago, I was in Australia, and I had a gal make a comment on the very similar lines about homosexuality next to me at a table. I looked over, and her comment, she didn't know. Actually, she was just speaking to somebody next to her, and she made a very direct, bold, correct comment about homosexuality and what it does to a nation. I looked over at her, and she looked back at me, and she goes, oh, you must be from America. And I go, how'd you know that? And she said, because you look shocked at hearing me voice my opinion. She said, and then she proceeded to explain how America was squelching our free speech rights, controlling our thoughts, telling us what we can and cannot say. And she predicted it getting worse and worse and worse, as it has. Folks, I've been to many countries around the world. I have experienced this all over the world. It's interesting to be exposed to people that don't feel the shackles of political correct speech. As believers, we have two obligations with our mouth. Well, maybe more. But two important ones. One, we've got to be bold and speak the truth. But two, we've got to be diplomatic and articulate. I was in a situation this weekend where there was a conversation, and this guy was a believer. You couldn't have been more brash and rude and obnoxious around a large group of people that could hear him. Absolutely offensive, okay? That is complete ignorance. We need to present ourselves in a proper way. We need to be, you know, as it says, we need to be ready in season and out of season to, you know, to give an explanation of our faith. But it's important, it's very critically important that we do it with class and dignity. And, you know, we've got to be articulate. We are ambassadors for God of the universe. Be smart. And you're going to get in situations where, folks, be wise to understand when Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. There are times that you are going to find yourself surrounded by hellhounds. Okay? When you're surrounded by hellhounds, are you going to diplomatically talk your way out of that? No, when the pressure's so bad and the evil source is so ridiculous, get away. Don't waste your time. Now, some of us have family members like this. You know, that's fine. What's important is to let your yes be yes and your no be no. So many of us struggle with this. You just speak the truth kindly and diplomatically, and there you leave it. You do not need to expound. You do not need to overcomplicate. But the most important thing is in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce through bones and marrow. You know, and it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes as deep as possible. It goes deep spiritually. It goes all the way to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You need to know the word of God. Now, you don't want to be a street corner preacher where you're standing there. You're all going to hell. You're going to burn in hell. You know, the sulfur's coming. None. I mean, that works maybe one out of a million times. You've got to be deliberate and articulate and wise and brilliant. You know, Jesus is our example, but Jesus was God. Okay, he spoke the word of God. He was the word of God. I hate to break the news to you, but I have a feeling no one out there listening today is quite the word of God. So we need to study the word of God, and we need to know it. And when it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's only one way you can hide the word in your heart. That is by memorizing scripture. You have to memorize it. Just get a memory card every day or two. Just put a verse or two on it. Put the scripture reference on it, Hebrews 4:12. And when you memorize it, you say Hebrews 4:12 for the word of God, blah, 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 blah. And then when you're done, you say Hebrews 4:12. And you carry it around with you. Each and every day you have one in your pocket. And you memorize a scripture maybe every day or two. And at the end of the year, you'll have a couple hundred scriptures memorized. At the end of 5 years, you got 1,000. Then you're going to start liking it. And it permeates you. It takes time, but it just, you marinate in the word of God. And you begin to become wise. And you do that, you read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon to Rehoboam, who was a fool's fool. Solomon was in a pinch, the wisest man ever. It says that people came from all over the world just to listen to him speak. He was so incredible, so phenomenal. And his son was such a foolish idiot. He absolutely divided the kingdom, destroyed it. He alienated everybody with his big mouth. Solomon wrote Proverbs for Rehoboam because he knew one day Rehoboam would be king. And Solomon wrote many, many more Proverbs than are in the book of Proverbs. It even says, I'm trying to think, the book of Proverbs is, I think Solomon wrote 28 of them to an average of probably 30 verses apiece. So maybe there's 1,000 Proverbs there. It even says in 1 Kings and Chronicles, I think, that Solomon wrote over 3,000 Proverbs or memorized them, made them and memorized them. And in the apocryphal books, there's some other Proverbs of Solomon. Whether those are correct or not, I can't testify. But the point is, know them. Wisdom. That will make you a rock-solid, earth-dwelling believer. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck here on earth. If you want to live your life with the God-will-take-care-of-it-all method, good luck to you. God supports us. God stands behind us. God motivates us. He plants desires in our heart. What I call the God block, a friend of mine goes to a church in another city I'm familiar with. I've been there a number of times. It's crashing now. They're not getting the financial resources they need. So the pastor's response is to stand up at the pulpit and basically become more condemning and more judgmental and tell the people they're not walking with God enough and they're not this and they're not that. And his son-in-law spoke recently, and this kid is messed up. And he threw out this random, impossible to follow, harsh, ridiculous sermon. And when a number, and I mean a number of the parishioners and the board and older elders in the church came to speak to him individually about it and in pairs and whatever, he said, well, that's the message God gave me. If you've got a problem, take it up with God. No, wrong, false. It says, it tells us that a fool is right. The ways of a fool are right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel. I've talked in the past about there is a way which seems right to a man. That's Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And it talks about, a fool. There's a way that seems right to a fool, but a wise man listens to counsel. I call it God blocking, and it's not correct. It's inaccurate with biblical scripture, with what we are guided to do. We are guided, obviously, we want to live by faith, and that's this guy's total argument. He says he lives by faith. I've run into this a number of times in recently in people I talk to. And when they have the, you know, they've got a better connection to God than you or I. God talks right to them, they say, tells them everything. What's the point of the Bible? Are they just on such a high spiritual plane? Or is it really convenient to them to say this because then they can become fools and never listen to anybody? Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But then what? But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Then it goes on in Proverbs 13, it says, through insolence, which is arrogance and self-pride and puffed up attitude, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Arrogance, self-proclamation, self-exaltation creates strife. It creates fighting, especially among believers. But wise men, they want to hear counsel. They marinate in it. They want it. So we can't do, you know, avoid the God block. You are not getting direct revelations from God about everything you do and say. God can give, he'll plant desires on our heart, but we still have to live by faith and wisdom. You know, wisdom and understanding, he talks about it over and over again. Like it or not, you are making conscious free will decisions about everything you do. You will be judged. But in the Bible, when God talks about the righteous, so many people get hung up on the fact that it means perfection. No, it means to be right-minded, to desire God in your heart. That's it, to want to do right by God. There can be a man, the most wretched sinner you've ever met in prison, who can become righteous before God. That doesn't mean he's never going to sin again. That means that he wants God's will in his life. He wants to be a tool for God. So we've got to live our lives with our heart open to God and directed. So I started the show out talking a little bit about what, you know, there's so much financial stuff that I've been running into. Couple things, let's just bounce around. What's going on? What am I talking about? First of all, the chaos of the presidency is a problem. This, you know, Russia hacking garbage they won't let go is fundamentally dishonest. It's a lie. We're being perpetrated lies by the propaganda media, by, you know, by the ministers of propaganda. They're putting Joseph Goebbels to shame. They're creating, remember the way the Russia thing started was one day they were talking about Hillary Clinton's emails that she deleted for God's sakes. And then they were talking about the Russians hacking and he jokingly said, well, I hope that they have copies of the emails that Hillary deleted. It was a joke. Well, the left can't take a joke, right? So they begin to go off about it and talk about it and say, oh, Trump encouraged the Russians to hack into our stuff. So here we go. So then during the election, they say, oh, they hacked in. Well, what they really did is people from Russia planted stories or whatever that were not favorable for Trump at all. But they were disfavorable for Hillary Clinton because they know she's a pawn. She's a bad person, to put it very diplomatically. She's a bad person. They know this. They've dealt with her. They're on the inside. So they think Trump, you know, Hillary's just a continuation of Obama's plan. And Obama, I mean, let's face it, his attitude was to lead from behind. You know, to never offend anybody except those who were conservative Christians. One thing when I learned when I was in the Caribbean islands, under the Obama administration, he had blocked, and I may have already discussed this, he had blocked, fundamentally blocked visas to Caribbean citizens. He denied them all. Our embassy denied them all after people spent $2,000. Muslim nations, the cost was something like 12 or 20 bucks, and they were all accepted. He is a Muslim, okay? He's done severe, severe damage. There is, I've discussed the 20-year, seven-phase plan of the Islamic Caliphate to take over the world. We're currently in stage five or six. It's on track day for day. The thing was written in 1995, started in 2000. 2001, 9/11 was a part of it. It's on track. It's on the money. It's been written down in stone. Here we go. Obama did a beautiful job of amplifying, of supporting and continuing that plan and making sure that it was being executed to its full fruition, okay? What does that mean? That means that he was a true, taqiyya insider. The doctrine of taqiyya is you must lie. You must deceive for the furtherance of Islam and Allah, and he did so. I've discussed time and again where he accidentally referred to his Muslim faith four times. Now, I ask you this. How many times have you accidentally referred to your Muslim faith as a believer, as a Christian? I'm guessing zero. I would sure have a hard time doing that since I consider that the devil's religion. There's no doubt about it. So Trump is trying to make these things right, and the media, I'm not even sure, I know they hate him, but I just don't think he could do right by him in any way. So I don't know how that's going to go, but here's what's going on economically. There's so much going on, folks. We are stretched to the hilt. Unfortunately, Trump is I don't know what you'd call it. He's a populist. He was a Democrat for years. He is not a fundamental conservative that apparently believes in cutting the budget. He does want to increase spending, defense spending, 10% or $54 billion. I have to say I can't disagree with that. The rest of the budget, we'll have to wait and see what he does with, because Obama was spending $4.5 trillion a year. Trump's proposed defense budget, $603 billion, that leaves $3.9 trillion to play with. We'll see if he cuts costs there. The healthcare issue is a major issue. It's very apparent to me that when Trump first met Obama, Trump is a smart guy. He befriended Obama. Obama's greatest fear is his legacy. He talked about it many times. Obama's a man of great ego. And so Obama's one of his greatest fears, I believe, was that Donald Trump would do to him what he did to George W. Bush. Absolutely emaciated his reputation, lied, cheated, literally stole, did everything he could to blame George W. Bush for every problem he inherited. An unbelievable just lack of integrity. Obama, you know, the Chinese proverb, to a thief, everyone's a thief. You live in sin and you fear your shadow. Obama fears his shadow because he's lived a lie. So his fear was that Trump would do to him what he did to George W. So I believe that Obama befriended Trump and Trump was befriending Obama. I believe the two of them had equal agreement or equal desire to create this relationship for mutual protection and support. So it seemed apparent to me that Donald Trump, when he came out of that first meeting, he said, on healthcare, we're going to keep all of these people who are now insured that were not before, we're going to keep them all insured. Folks, that's 20 million people. That's a lot of cash. Those people use the insurance up. They just drain it. The emergency room is their doctor's office, unfortunately. He's struggling to keep this word. In return, I believe Obama's kind of holding back on talking too much garbage about him. So he's trying to keep this. He's trying to keep all the good things about Obamacare, which was just a free candy cane program, free handouts galore, entitlements, you know the game. And he's trying to hold this stuff. And I don't think it can be done. The root, in my opinion, now, I'm a total free marketer, but I will tell you, we have one problem in America that is huge, and that is the power of the lobby. And the medical lobby, aka pharmaceutical lobby, you know, American Medical Association, all of them, they have huge power. They've developed a reputation that they are gods. They're above reproach. They're above the law. They have their own little world and their own little medical speak. So laymen don't understand what they're doing to people, which is heinous. It's terrible. The chemotherapy and, you know, all these things. And I was just in the Caribbean. They have so many medicinal herbs in the jungle that do incredible things. Incredible. From curing cancer and malaria and severe stomach bacterias and, you know, the things that ail us, they have cured. They have, but the medical companies, that, you know, unless they can turn it into a pill, which requires them to synthetically reproduce it, genetically modify it, and then patent it. If they can't do that, they shut it down and squelch it. And so the cost of our medicine has gone so high in this nation. We've got this, I know people out there listen to this opiate thing. Trump is in his 70s, about 70 years old. He is an 80s child from the Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan era of just say no to drugs. All drugs are bad. You know, looking at it from one side, not considering the fact that the CIA is the biggest importer and exporter, importer of drugs and exporter of cash to drug countries in the world. They make excuses for all of it. It goes on and on, how that all goes down. But they're huge. And so the more money Trump throws into it, the more money goes into these government agencies. But these pharmaceutical companies have lobbyists that get anything done they want. So they had a hedge of protection around them that would blow your mind. They're untouchables. The cost of pharmaceuticals has gone through the moon. The cost of every medical procedure through the moon. Attorneys, malpractice, all these things have killed, destroyed our system, made it hands down the most expensive medical system in the world, untouchable by any other. This is the problem with socialized medicine, is they're not negotiating properly the price of these procedures and medications, which many of them are unnecessary and many are far too destructive. It's very alarming and concerning, trust me, until they get to the bottom of that. So what I was going to say is I'm a free market guy all the way. But when you get a blatant, obvious breach of the system through corruption, you need to deal with it. So it no longer becomes free market. It becomes crony capitalism. That's where we're at now. So these conglomerates need to be limited in their influence and their input. Congressmen and senators need more authority to make wise decisions based on facts, not on financial persuasion. So if we don't fix that, we're not going to fix anything. We're going to have the biggest mess on our hands ever. The problem is, if Trump tries to fix anything, the left just knows to scream. I mean, the partisan politics in this nation is so over the top. The lack of forgiveness. We are a nation that has Judeo-Christian roots, but our daily behavior is so removed from biblical precepts, it's sickening and mind-boggling. So as they go for the repeal and replace, I don't know what they'll do. The system needs to be revamped. If it is not, including our financial system, it will erupt. There is no other way. There's only two options. One is an explosive-style bankruptcy. Two is hyperinflation. In either case, you, as the holder of coins and precious metals, will be safe and beneficial in the situation. That is it. That's the biblical manner and method of holding wealth. There is no other. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. The human life, obviously, is not slavery. It means a business. People create wealth. If you can harness that, you can do very well. With labor laws, not always. But you are commanded biblically to wisely hold physical assets. Genesis 2, God tells them about gold, where to get it. He says it's good. He uses the word tov, T-O-W-B, the highest word in the Bible. That means it's the greatest. It's absolutely beneficial. It's wealth. It's health. It's success. It's fortune. It's investment. It's growth. It's everything. He tells us this is it. And then silver comes into play. Economics develops. Solomon builds the biggest temple, the most gold in one location on earth ever before or since. Christ comes to earth. The first gift he gets is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He tells us all about heaven in the Bible. Full of gold, just full of gold. Well, that's a physical resource God obtained somewhere. Even the wheel within a wheel is described by Ezekiel as being like chrysolite or beryl. You look up chrysolite, it's green. Wrong. The chrysolite that comes from the Middle East is white. So these wheels are a sparkling grayish white, which could be a composite, polycarbonate style or whatever, I don't know. But heaven, the whole base of it is 12 layers of precious stones. The size of heaven, folks, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles tall. If you take all the habitable space on earth, all of the constructed habitable space on earth, that means every house, every building, every dwelling place, it pales in comparison to the space that will be for us in heaven. The inside of heaven's so big you can't see the top, the bottom, or the sides if you're in many of the locations. If you're on earth, if heaven's 1,500 miles tall, when you're on earth, the highest mountain on earth is Mount Everest at about 29,000 feet above sea level, which is about what? 5.5 miles. And that's above sea level, not from its base. That's above sea level. Then take it the next step. When a satellite is in orbit around the U.S., it is 100 miles above the Earth, and you can barely see it sparkle at night with the right reflection from the sun. That's 100 miles. Heaven's 15 times higher than that. Beyond comprehension, with structures all throughout. Christ said, where I'm going, there are many mansions, is King James. Many dwelling places is NASB. The word in Greek is mone. It means dwelling places. Because why do you need your own house in heaven, right? You never need to sleep. You don't need private property because everybody shares. It's just a place to hang out, I guess. I can't tell you that for sure. But just realize how magnificent it is. If God created the earth in 6 days and he spent 2,000 years on heaven, how big is that? How awesome is that going to be? So anyhow, let's, as we get near the end of the show, let me get to the financial aspects that I was trying to allude to and before. So here's the deal. Americans now hold over $4.1 trillion in consumer debt. The last debt bubble peak, the last boom, the last explosion that we saw in 08, $2.5 trillion. Now, you go back to that, I don't want to spend much time on it. The bailout of $3 trillion could have easily paid off every mortgage in America. Our government could have done a 0% mortgage subsidy for businesses and individuals, could have absolutely stimulated the economy. If only, you know, I could be president. Ha! Just joking. Not really. I'd love it. But I think the odds of that happening are similar to probably winning the largest lottery in world history, which is not very good odds. So anyway, but I would, you know, I see these things and I'm just like, what a bunch of fools. What a bunch of deceptive fools. And it was supposed to be a mortgage bailout. And then at the last minute, they said, oh, no, it's too late for that. So Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke created their own corporate welfare nightmare. So the point is, we are in deep debt, deep, deep debt individually. Folks, that's bankruptcy, my friends. Housing affordability has Americans too broke to buy a home. The American dream is out of reach now for people. Imports and exports into this country. There is not one country that is importing more than they're exporting. In other words, from our perspective, there's not one country that does not import far more than we export to them. Trade deficits are out of control. Everything we buy is on credit. We are in debt beyond belief. It is the biggest, messiest Ponzi scheme you can even fathom. Folks, it is a debt bubble beyond your dreams. I'm telling you, every dollar you have, you've got two choices. This thing either blows sky high or they're going to continue hyperinflating. They're now saying Trump may spend more than any other president before him. I don't know. I hope not, but we'll see. But the point is, if you've owned, I hate to use the term paper because it's deceptive. You don't even have that. You can print it up on paper. But if you have cyber investments, which are binary electronic dots inside of a silicone microchip somewhere that says you have X amount of wealth, which can be absolutely devastated at any moment with easily EMP or anything that shuts down the power grid, just a good old-fashioned war, or just anybody wants to create a false flag event, you name it. Your money is not real. You need real money. 401ks or IRAs, folks, hands down, we do gold and silver on those. Easy money. I mean, it's an easy process. The commissions are like 2%, period. You might think brokers charge you less. You're full of it. Those things are so back-end loaded and deceptive. You ever wondered why you buy any stock or mutual fund and in the next couple days it's down 5 or 10%? That's because the broker shows the appearance of you purchasing it at the all-time high for that small period of time because they're back-end loaded. And then they drop it back down as they basically evacuate the commission out of it. So whatever. But the point being, 401ks and IRAs, get them into metals. Follow the Bible. I like this. Talked to this gal the other day. She calls and goes, after she talks to her, she goes, okay, well, I'm going to call my stockbroker and see if I can get him to agree with this. And I'm like, why? Well, because he's been my financial expert for 23 years. And we had just got done talking. I said, ma'am, you've told me that you have invested in 23 years $1.3 million. And you currently have about $680,000 over 23 years. And you're going to ask this guy if you should follow biblical financial principles? Folks, no offense, but the one thing I run into a lot with women, I'm sorry, ladies, I do not mean to offend, they want acceptance and approval from their broker. No, it's your money. You do with it as you please. You're accountable for it. You talk about true accountability. That's why God created money in the first place, because it's a tangible track record of your heart's condition. Why in the world do you need some heathen's, some conflict of interest individual whose desire is to scrape commission after commission after commission off of you and say, oh, gosh darn it, we missed it that time. Let's try this now. Why would you want that guy's approval? What's your problem? I mean, just do the right thing. Do the right thing. I've told my kids all through life, seek the truth no matter the cost. Do you know how few people really want the truth? The truth. People move into relationships. There's red flags everywhere. But they block it out. Oh, no, I've invested too much in this relationship. I got to get married and start, you know, this or that. Truth, 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 not your agenda, truth. The truth is, biblically, the Bible doesn't get old, okay? The reason that God didn't mention paper assets isn't because the technology is so great now because we're so smart. It's because it's garbage. In fact, he did discuss the excessive luxuries of Mystery Babylon. Post-Mystery Babylon, folks, we're in bad shape. I mean, we've got, if you go down the list, our economy has been in the grip of a death spiral, deep dysfunction. Now, here's a study that came out February 23rd. Nicholas Eberstadt, it was published in the Commentary Magazine and American Enterprise and Institute and some others. They did this big study. Explains that while the election of Donald Trump was a shock to the elites living on the East and West Coasts and what socialist scientists and AEL scholars Charles Murray calls the bubble, it broadcasts a reality that could no longer be denied. Things out there in America are a whole lot different from what you thought. He notes that things that have been going badly wrong in America since beginning of the 21st century, that's the year 2000. Among his key points, the U.S. economy has been in the grip of a deep dysfunction since the dawn of the new century, and the recovery from the crash of 2008, which unleashed the worst recession since the Great Depression, has been singularly slow and weak. Number two, key point. Basic indicators, which ordinarily move in tandem, now offer oddly inconsistent readings on America's economic performance and prospects, the manipulative divergence between three trends, wealth, output, and employment. So basically, you should see wealth, manufacturing output, or exports, and employment all equally together. Now, that's not happening. Why? Well, wealth is going up. Why? Fiat currency. We're pumping dough out like it's going out of style. Output down and unemployment down. Because wealth is not wealth. You double your money in a decade and you have no more buying power than you did a decade earlier. The next bullet point. Wealth creation is booming in the U.S. Now, that's what I just spoke of. Between 2000 and 2016, the estimated net worth of American households and nonprofit institutions more than doubled from $44 trillion to $90 trillion. But the wealth is not evenly distributed, and the real trends of the macro economy tell a different story. The middle class is being destroyed. What's going on is wealth is increasing because of the pumping of fiat currency. Yes, people, the left says, oh, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The poor aren't getting poorer. The poor are getting richer because they're all on welfare. The rich are getting richer because the left has done everything to destroy the middle class. You would be blown away if you knew the economic facts of how the left benefits the wealthy far more than the right could ever do. Everything they do or say is a deceptive lie. It is not for the best of the poor. They have agendas to keep the poor poor because they vote. And these poor people are so ignorant, they just keep falling for the same lies every 2 to 4 years. They can't figure it out. You've got to stand up there and lie and promise and lie and promise with no intention of ever delivering. That's how you get elected. There's always a new constituency turning 18 and so on. It's crazy. It goes on and it says, the real trends of the macroeconomy tell a different story. Between 2000 and 07, per capita GDP, that's gross domestic product growth, averaged less than 1% per year compared to the nation's long-term post-war, 1948 to 2000, per capita growth rate of almost 2.3%. Between 2000 and 2016, per capita growth in America has averaged less than 1% per year. Had the per capita growth maintained its post-war pre-21st century rate for 2000 to 2016, our per capita GDP today would be roughly 50% higher. Economists today have already begun redefining the growth potential of the U.S. downwards. And then it goes on and explains, America's witnessed a dreadful collapse of work. Our labor force trends have been even more dismal than the GDP ones. Since 2000, work rates are at their lowest level in decades. Between early 2000 and late 16, the overall work rate for Americans 20 and older plunged by almost 15 percentage points, 64.6 to 49.7. U.S. adult work rates have never recovered entirely from the recession of 01, a.k.a. the collapse of Mystery Babylon, or the crash of 08. Post-war America never experienced anything comparable. From 09 to 14, America's work rates more or less have gone down. This is the only recovery in U.S. history where basic labor rate indicators have completely collapsed. Folks, I don't have a lot of time to go on this today, unfortunately. They go into unemployment rates. We've got a problem. I mean, it's a big financial problem. You need to prepare and protect yourself. I believe Trump's in place for a very good reason. I don't know what's coming, probably war and economic collapse. But if you're not ready, you're going to regret it. You just need hard assets, period. Hard assets survive. They last. You know, it's not going to be Mad Max and the Thunderdome. It'll be a financial reset of sorts. I don't know. But I can tell you, own assets. I love them, okay? Numismatic coins carried me through the 08 dump. You would not believe the performance. People move to hard assets in hard times. The Bible tells you to do it. Just do it. Coins Plus is 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. Folks, and all of our previously recorded shows are on our website at coinsplus.com. But folks, I'm telling you, I don't care where you start. Just get it going on and trust us. Know that we know a lot. You know, the Dunning and Kruger says the less knowledgeable someone is, the smarter they think they are. Don't be that person. We're experts. This is what we do. We'll take great care of you. But just get your savings into hard assets. Protect yourself. Paper, it's going to evaporate. So it's just a fact, folks. I can't tell it any other way. I appreciate you tuning in and listening. And again, 444-0044. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye.